This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hello, I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and welcome to the BBC Music Podcast. You can buy a copy of the magazine at your local newsagents or download our app to your iPad, Kindle Fire or Android tablet. And for the latest music news and more, head to our website at classical-music.com. This week I'm joined in the BBC Music Magazine studio by Jeremy Pound, the deputy editor, and Rebecca Franks, the reviews editor, for First Listen, our monthly slot where we rate an important new release. This month we've selected the 2-CD set Bursts of Acclamation, a collection of music by Vaughan Williams written either specifically for the organ or subsequently arranged for it by various composers and arrangers. So is this a well-tuned album, as rounded as a fine set of English diapasons, or are there the proverbial wheezings and ciphers lurking within? Let's hear the arrangement that David Briggs has made of Vaughan Williams' overture to The Wasps. So that was an arrangement of Vaughan Williams' overture to The Wasps, arranged by David Briggs and performed by David Briggs on the organ of Sacred Heart Church in Wimbledon. And that's on this 2-CD set on the Albion Records label of organ music by Vaughan Williams. Rebecca, there's a lot of it, isn't there? 2 CDs, over 120 minutes of Vaughan Williams. Tell us a little bit about the variety that we've got here.
That was my very first thought, actually, is, wow, this is a lot of Vaughan Williams organ music. As you say, over 2 discs, and I did sort of start to think at first, is this going to be an enjoyable sort of listening experience overall, or is it so many small pieces? Is it going to be one that's more, if you're an organist, this is a great reference place? When you delve a little bit further, actually, it's a lot of transcriptions. So I was quite surprised that actually very few of the pieces are original Vaughan Williams, and a lot of transcriptions by other composers and organists, some which are more effective than others. I think that Wasps that we've just heard works really well, actually. It's one of my favourite moments on the disc.
And I'm not entirely sure that Vaughan Williams was the most willing of organists, actually, despite the fact it says in the notes that we may come away from this set thinking that Vaughan Williams loved the organ than we thought. Actually, I'm not entirely sure, Jeremy, that he was sort of someone who was going to be destined for the loft.
No, ironically, the notes actually sort of self-defeat themselves here, because they say this, but then early on they explain how he was kind of spent a lot of his time unwillingly up in the organ loft. He did it to make money. He wasn't actually to earn his living. He wasn't actually that keen on it, by the sound of it. And actually, when you look at the amount of work he wrote for the organ, there's not an awful lot of it which actually wrote originally for the organ itself.
And I would say that some of it's quite charming, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's the kind of music that you would expect to hear before a wedding, you know, even before the entrance of the bride, you know, before a service, before the entrance of the priest and the choir, you know, the kind of almost, dare I say it, dirgy music, but very well written and quite solidly written, and enjoyable if you're in that frame of mind.
There were bits where I actually very much felt like I was sitting in a church pew waiting for something to happen. There was some rather lovely, soft, muffled sort of palette of organ music going on in the background. Very enjoyable,
but don't go expecting kind of the same sort of thing which you got from some of Vaughan Williams' contemporaries, such as Howells, for instance, or Brewer or Sumption or people like that.
Yes, I mean, placed next to people like Howells, I think you're looking at a different beast altogether. But I would say hiding in amongst the slightly lesser known pieces are some really fine pieces. I mean, I very much enjoyed the Prelude and Fugue in C minor, which ends the first CD. And I wonder why that wasn't put at the front of the disc, really, to show off Vaughan Williams as the organ composer before we get into all these arrangements. And I think some of the other arrangements work very, very well indeed. I think the slow movement to the London Symphony works very, very well. Perhaps it was a work movement that was, in fact, improvised on the organ, as these notes suggest.
And I very much also liked the transcriptions, which had a sort of viola sonority, and the viola was one of, you know, it was Vaughan Williams' instrument. And actually, I think, you know, the carol and the musette from the suite for viola, and the movement from the Fantasy Quintet, which is a sort of very viola kind of sound world, that worked really well, actually, I thought, on the organ.
Worth pointing out that the transcriptions, too, are a mix of some by Vaughan Williams' own contemporaries, such as there's a number by Henry Lay, who was working at the same time as Vaughan Williams. So they were actually
They
were friends, yes. So they would have obviously had Vaughan Williams' own sort of stamp of approval, one imagines. And then you have the later ones, like the David Briggs transcription we've just heard of the Overture to the Wasps, and also Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis, which was recently completed by Peter Beardsley, who's not the old Newcastle footballer, but a US organist.
So why don't we hear a clip from the opening of the Tallis Fantasia, arranged by Peter Beardsley. That was the opening from the Fantasia on a Theme by Thomas Tallis, transcribed by Peter Beardsley, played by David Briggs on this new CD of Vaughan Williams organ music. Rebecca, it sort of works, this Fantasia, doesn't it? The opening is very promising. I wonder whether it's to do with the organ itself, whether it's to do with the fact that it's a transcription for organ, when in fact, actually, the piece was written for string orchestra and string quartet in the vast, you know, caverns of Gloucester Cathedral. I mean, does it work for you?
I have to say, it doesn't really. This was the first piece that I headed to on the whole programme, actually, because I love the original. And I thought it would work well. I thought it would work well as an organ transcription because there's an organ-like quality to that writing and that ancient quality and, you know, the liturgical setting and everything, background. But for some reason, it didn't have that space. It didn't have, you know, the ethereal strings, delicate pizzicato. It just didn't have that magic for me, I'm afraid.
And actually, some organs would have the ethereal strings, I think, and probably slightly more delicate pedal notes, dare I say it. I mean, I wonder, I mean, given this organ doesn't, as far as I can see, it doesn't have any connection with Vaughan Williams, whether this piece would have been better off performed on a slightly larger instrument in a larger acoustic. I don't know.
It never envelops you, does it, this piece? And it starts off, you think, oh, this actually might be quite good. And then 5 minutes later, you think, it's not actually going anywhere. It just doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't flow. It doesn't envelop you in the same way as the original.
Mm. Brilliantly played, though. I mean, you cannot fault David's playing. I mean, he's a superb artist. And actually, for anyone who's heard his transcriptions, particularly of the Mahler symphonies, will know that he has a particular sensitivity and a sensibility for orchestral transcriptions.
As he shows, actually, later on with the slow movement from the London Symphony, which is one of the highlights of the disc, where he really does master the orchestral sound in organ form.
That was an extract from the slow movement from the London Symphony, transcribed by Henry Lay and performed brilliantly by David Briggs. And I think, as we just said, one of the best examples of sort of the arranged side of Vaughan Williams organ music on these two discs. But there are, of course, pieces written specifically for the organ, including, as composers, as these notes say, are often asked to do, write music for the weddings of their friends. And I think this is an example of that. And I wouldn't say it's the most inspired work, would you, Jeremy?
No, well, there's three which are for friends. There's the wedding tune for Anne, and then there's wedding canon for Nancy, and there's the Passacaglia on B, G, C, which is the notes, B, G, C, repeated again and again and again. And actually, as passacaglias go, doing one on three notes does tend to tire pretty quickly. So it's mercifully quite short, which is the one thing it has going for it.
I think Nancy and Anne got the better deal.
I think Nancy and Anne got the better deal.
Well, should we hear Nancy or Anne?
I think so. Let's hear Nancy.
Let's hear Nancy. So that was Wedding Canon for Nancy. Not the most inspired Wedding Canon for Nancy, but charming enough, I think. I think that the most charming of all are the three preludes founded on Welsh hymn tunes, of which Rosimedra, I think, is the most beautiful, set as a perennial grade 5 or 6 organ work. But I think it's a very charming work, and I think it's worth hearing here. So that was an extract from Vaughan Williams' Rosimedra, one of three preludes founded on Welsh hymn tunes. Rounding off the entire collection is work that a lot of people will know, the final work in the Five Mystical Songs, the antiphon Let All the World. I think a particularly fine way to end this collection, I think.
Well, absolutely. It's the most sort of upbeat of all the works on the whole double set. And as you say, it's a piece which many people know, and many of us enjoyed seeing it in its original form. And it's a good kind of uplifting finale.
So that was an extract from Let All the World in Every Corner Sing, performed by David Briggs on the organ of Sacred Heart Church, Wimbledon. So it's time for some scores. Four bursts of acclamation. Rebecca, out of 10, please.
This is a really difficult one, because if it was just on the performance alone, I'd probably give it an 8 or a 9. But as it is, a lot of this music, it's not, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag, really. And some of it I've thought was very interesting, and some of it not so much at all. So I think on balance, I will give it 7.
7. You'd say for completists only, I suppose.
As they say.
As they say in the reviews. Jeremy.
Yes, this is the sort of double disc set for which the CD player skip button was invented. Some of the stuff is just wonderful, which I'd love. I am going to listen to again and again, but then a lot of the music here is, in my humble opinion, fairly forgettable. As a result, I am going to give it an overall mark of 6 out of 10.
6. I have to say, there was something that I meant to bring up in the main conversation, in that the notes infuriated me, I have to say, I'm afraid. I know it's great to put the works in chronological order, but when you have the works in an entirely different order on the actual CDs themselves, it makes looking up the history to each particular work impossible. So that doesn't necessarily go against the score, but I think it's worth saying. I enjoyed the playing. I enjoyed the selections. I'd actually like to give this 8 out of 10 because I thought the playing was superb. I know it's for what they'd say aficionados only and that sort of thing, but I think a lot of people will appreciate a lot of musical holes being plugged, I think, in this collection. I think David Briggs has done a great service, I think, to English church organ music, even if it's not the most valuable set of organ music out there. So that will give us a nice, neat average of 7 out of 10. So that brings us to the end of this month's First Listen. Do tune in next month when we'll be discussing another important new release. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this BBC Music Magazine podcast, which was produced in our Bristol studio by Jack Fletcher. For more of our podcasts, visit our website at classical-music.com or simply head to iTunes.